We have a mitzvah to drink the alakaisas. There are a lot of halachas. Anachim Balmum was just talking more agada. Let's just discuss a few things about the alakaisas. We drink 4 cups of wine lel Pesach. Why do we drink 4 cups of wine? Everyone knows the main reason, because of the 4 lashonis of gula v'yotzeis v'itzalti v'kualti v'lokachti. Now the truth is, there's another lashon, this v'hevesi. And if you really want to be medayik, there are really 7 lashonis. Okay, there are really seven lashonis. If you go to the psukim very carefully, I don't remember the other two, but there are 7 lashonis. But the main 5, if you read the psukim carefully, there are 7. We're not going to discuss that. I just want to make that point. There are really 7, but we focus on 4, the main 4, the Yitzeis, the Yitzalti, the Galti, the Lekachti. And then in that theme, there's a 5th kais. So the question is, why don't we have 5 kaisais on Lel Pesach? The 5th kais is coming into Eretz Yisrael, the Hevesi. So the answer is very simple, because it's not what we're celebrating. The 7 days of Pesach, we did not yet enter into Eretz Yisrael. It took 40 more years. We should have gone into Eretz Yisrael very quickly, but after Matan Torah, but we didn't make it because of the Chayto Egel. And then that wasn't it either. It was the Meraglim that did the job. The Meraglim finished us off. So it took 40 years. But Pesach was the Zman of Yotzeis, Yitzalti, V'go'alti, V'lokachti Aschem Li Le'om. And that's really where Yitzias Mitzrayim ended. And V'hevesi is, it's true, but it's not part of the holiday. So, I mean, we're not going to focus on it. However, there is a minhag, everyone knows the minhag, of the Kois Shel Eliyahu. There are many different ways to prepare the Kois Shel Eliyahu. Some have the custom that before Shefoi Chamos Ha'el Hagoyim, you fill up the Kois Shel Eliyahu, and after you recite the Kina, it's really a Kina. Shefoi Chamos Ha'el Hagoyim is a Kina, it's like Tisha B'Av, it's a Kina. Then you take the Kois Shel Eliyahu and you pour it into all of the Kois. That's how my father did it. I think a lot of people do that. Does anyone here do that? No?
No.
Okay, good. Well, the minute my father, we did, whatever you did last year, that's what you do this year. Don't look for trouble here. Don't look for trouble. But my father did all the years, and I don't think it was like a big deal, is that the Kois Shel Eliyahu, When you come to the 3rd kais before Hallel, you come to that, you finish the Afikoyim, and then you fill up the kais shel Eliyahu only. Open up the door, you go outside, you say Shvei Chamos, you come inside, and then you take the kais shel Eliyahu and you distribute it to all of the, you fill up now Moizgin kais. Moizgin kais. This is the 3rd kais, right? This is the 3rd kais. Moizgin kais shlishi. And you use the Kois Shel Eliyahu to get started. And then you have to supplement, of course. One Kois Shel Eliyahu is not going to be enough for everyone at the Seder, unless it's a very big Kois Shel Eliyahu, or whatever it is. And you then have to supplement, everyone has to fill up their Kois to fill up the Kois. Oh, it's Pogum. Why don't you say the Kois Shel Eliyahu is Pogum? Because Eliyahu comes to sip from the wine. Whoever said he sips from the wine? Does it say that anywhere? Eliyahu comes. He comes, there's a kois in his honor. Doesn't mean he has to drink?
It's a malach.
Right?
A malach doesn't make it pogum.
Oh, or it's a malach doesn't make it pogum. Okay, so therefore, first of all, who says he drinks? The cup is there in his honor. Even if he does drink, it's not a real physical shesia that would make it pogum. And even if he does drink, it's all part of the service. So there's no shaila pogum. Okay. That's one custom. There's another custom that's cited, which is bizarre, and it has evoked reaction, violent reaction both ways. Some say this is such a beautiful thing, and some say this is utterly disgusting and disgraceful. And that is, there was a custom, they would put in the center of the table a big, big kois, and when you finish the first kois, you make kiddush, not everyone drinks it to the bottom. Some people drink a little bit, some drink roiv kais, just to drink roiv kais, you drink muloy lugma. They're different halachas. Ideally, you should drink the entire kais. You can't drink the entire kais, drink roiv. You can't drink every shugim b'loy lugma. You can't do that. B'diyev, you drink a little bit. B'diyev, you get it's also. So what do you do with the leftover yayin in the kais? So you just fill it up for the no. That's not right because it's pogum. Once already you've consumed, you've tasted from the kais, your own kais. It's not proper for you now to take the bakbuk, the bottle, and fill it up. You have to fresh.
Isn't that a problem? Even if you finish the kais.
Even you should also lechatchila wash. Yes, lechatchila you should wash it. You finish each kais. That is correct. People, some people do that. Lechatchila you should wash it. So what do you do? So what are you going to do with all the leftover wine? You're going to waste it. You have a kais in the center, and you take all the leftover wine in your kais, and you pour it into the middle cup. And so does everyone else. So it's the reservoir. It's the deposit. It is the deposit. Everyone, all the participants, they take the leftover liquid in their cup and they pour it into that center cup. And they do that for the second course also. And the third course. And the fourth course. And that big, that's why it's so big. It has to accommodate all the leftovers. Oh!
Maybe it's the sachem.
This is the kois shel Eliyahu. Now, is that a nice thing to do, or is that a disgusting thing to do?
I'll never show up.
Is that a nice thing to do? So some hold that's a beautiful thing to do, and some say this is a disgrace. It is an utter disgrace. Okay, there's a lot of depth in this. I didn't prepare the details. I don't remember. I think once we spoke about this. This is another approach to the kois shel Eliyahu. Okay, now, other people just suddenly fill up the kois shel Eliyahu, like many people do, whether you do it before you do it, whether you fill up your kois, and you leave it on the table until the end of the Seder. And at the end of the Seder, you know, there is such a minute to drink the kois shel Eliyahu. There is such a shita. Rabbi Rechov is a famous maral. What does the maral say? The maral says this was what got the haggadah of the maral into a lot of trouble. Right, the person who wrote the Haggadah, the same person who wrote the story about the Goylem of the Maral. I think was he the one who wrote? No. Who wrote this? The Maral's Haggadah. There's a very big controversy if the Maral really wrote that Haggadah.
It's a cut and paste.
But there are things in the Haggadah that are not cut and paste. And the question is, who wrote that?
Yeah,
cut and paste.
It's cut and paste commentary taken from.
Not everything. There are certain things in the Haggadah that are not cut and paste, and there's a major controversy. Who wrote it? And some say the whole thing is a fraud. The whole thing is a fraud. One of the proofs that it's a fraud is I think it says there about the Kois Chamishi, and nowhere in any of the Maral's works. Does the Maral ever memorize the such a thing called the Kais Chamishi?
Why wouldn't he accept on the Sefer about Pesach?
Maral wrote a lot. He wrote an enormous amount of material, and he would mention it somewhere. And there's no Zecher. How did this get here? This Kais Chamishi, someone had an agenda? Who put this in over here? That is one of the smoking gun of evidence that the critics used to claim that the Maral's Haggadah is a very nice Haggadah because everything you said is cut and paste. So what's the big deal? And the Maral certainly wrote a lot of these things. Certainly all the ideas are his ideas. But there's something that's just not right about it. And that thing about the Kois Chamishi is the smoking gun, which is a smoking cup. Okay, smoking cup. All right, but there is such a shita. There are opinions that say there really should be five kaisais because of the hevesi. We obviously do not do this. I don't remember. There's something a very nice Chabad minha. I think Chabad they do drink the kaisham. The Rebbe drinks the kaisham. There is some minig by Chabad. I don't remember. All right, now there is something over here that is unique for this year's learning that there are divorces in this wonderful sefer Marginta Tava. Which captured my attention that I found to be very interesting. And he says there is such a custom that you should fill up the Kais Chamishi but you bedafka don't drink it. Why? To make a contrast. The danger is, there's a very big danger in Jews, the Seder is all gullus. The Seder is a very complicated ceremony. On the one hand, it represents the Zech of the Karban Pesach, Pesach Matzah Morah, but more than Pesach Matzah Morah, the Pesach Seder has been hijacked in the last 2,000 years as an acknowledgement that we are in gullus. We are in gullus, and the danger of survival of the Jewish people in gullus, and much of the Seder is a tool to for us to be mechazik ourselves in gullus. Hold the faith, don't give up, Mashiach is on its way. Again, the Seder be'ikar originally is Mizman Shabbos, Hamikdash HaYakayim, there's Pesach, Matzah, Maror. It is a zecher for what we did in the Beis Hamikdash. But over the 1,953 years of Galus since the Churban Beis Hamikdash, the Pesach Seder has been taken over by Klal Yisrael, not anymore just to be a zecher for the Karban Pesach and the Matzah and the Maror, but primarily it is a tool for Klal Yisrael to strengthen themselves in Golus. When you read the Pesach Seder, what are you really doing? Oh, the Beis Hamikdash, the Beis Hamikdash, the Beis Hamikdash. Oh, there is no Beis Hamikdash. Yes, but Zeichel Hamikdash. That's not what you walk away with from the Pesach Seder. The primary advantage, benefit that we take out of the Seder is Chizuk. Chizuk in Golus. We're in Golus. We're living in a land that's not ours. We are guests in a foreign land. There's a non-Jewish host that has not accepted the Torah, is not subject to the rules of the Torah. We're just guests here. We're just guests in Golus. This is the story of the Jew. The Pesach Seder is a tool that we engage in, we use to grant us to strengthen our emunah in Hashem, that the Golus will come to an end and we will return to Eretz Yisrael. The most dangerous argument, the most dangerous concept of Golus, and it's even Rashi and Chumash and Parshas and Parshas Eken within Kriya Shema, is a Jew can make a very fatal mistake and think that the only time we have an obligation to observe mitzvahs is only in Eretz Yisrael. If you're not living in your land, on Admas Kodesh, in Eretz Yisrael, you're exempt, you're potter from observing the Torah. I'll give you many cases. Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov was married to two sisters. How could he marry two sisters? Okay, there are many examples like this. So the answer is, Chutz La'aretz, before Matan Torah, in Chutz La'aretz, you're not obligated to observe Tayag Mitzvahs. So Yaakov was only married to two sisters when he was in Chutz La'aretz. The Ramban says this. Okay, the Ramban, Nib Godlam the Ramban. When he came into Eretz Yisrael, Bashkocha, Rachel died, so he should not be in violation, he married to two sisters, which is a violation of the Torah, even though it was before Matan Torah, in the Holy Land. Once the Jews were exiled to Chutz La'aretz, and we learned this, a lot of the stuff in the Nevi'im, in Yecheskel and in Yirmiyah, the Jews actually argue this point. Now that we are in exile, we don't have to wear tefillin. We don't have to put on a mezuzah. We don't have to eat kosher. We don't have to observe the laws of neither, because the Torah was given for the Jews for the purpose of going into Eretz Yisrael. We received the Torah in the Midbar, and the goal was very quickly to go into Eretz Yisrael, and that's where we're supposed to observe the Torah. Look, it was a delay of 40 years. But once we were there in Eretz Yisrael for 900 years, and now we go into Golus, listen, we're Jews. Hashem hopefully will redeem us one day, but until Hashem takes us back, we don't have to do the mitzvahs in Chutz La'aretz. This...
Not, Gemara says that. In other words, based on Pesukim, Mikates, the Shevis Avram the Eretz Mitzrayim, that he took a wife after living 10 years.
Only
after 10 years of living in Eretz Israel. And the same thing, Gahayokim Yachah, El Oretz, that's the Gemara asked the question about where he's going. And other things, when you get into the land.
So this was this when you study Nevi'im very, very well, especially Sefer Yirmiyah and Sefer Yecheskel, which deal with the imminent arrival of Galus. Those Svarim are the words of the Navi experiencing Galus. This is an argument. It's a very grave danger for the Jewish people not to feel connected, at least in the way we are not obligated to the mitzvahs. And the Nevi'im came out with a ferocity. No such thing. Just because a Jew is living in Galus, you are chayiv in every single mitzvah. Make no mistake about it. Rashi talks about this until put on Rashi in Kriya Shema, he mentioned he alludes to this thing as well. Therefore, some want to argue, Rabbi Dvorkis, he cites some source that want to make the following argument. That's exactly the purpose of the Kais Chamishi. The Kais Chamishi, you fill up the Kais Chamishi, but you bedavka. Don't drink the Kais Chamishi. When the Seder is over, you pour back into the bottle. You don't drink. Why? Because what is the Kais Chamishi? It's the fifth Lashon of Geula. What's the fifth Lashon of Geula? Vehevesi. You're going to come into Eretz Yisrael. Don't drink that cup. To show that we have ingested the first four cups. The Yotzeis, the Yitzalti, the Galti, the Lakachti, Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. Where did he take us? Into the desert. And in the desert, outside of Eretz Yisrael, we are mekayim all of the mitzvahs. This Seder, this service that we're doing here tonight, the Dalei Kaisas, the Matzah, represents the kiyum of all the mitzvahs. Ushmarten es hamatzos is a remes, ushmarten es hamitzvahs. Al tikri ushmarten es hamatzos, ushmarten es hamitzvahs. There's lots about Kriya. I don't know if he actually made the mistake, but he said he always has very great difficulty when he comes to that pasuk, Ushmartem es hamatzos. He has to concentrate very carefully not to say Ushmartem es hamitzvos. Chazal say, Al tikrei matzos, elo mitzvos. When you eat the matzah, you have to guard the matzah. What does it mean? Make sure it's not chametz. It's a remez. Ushamartem es hamatzos, ushamartem es hamitzvos. When you eat the centerpiece of the Pesach, say there are the matzos. That's the only mitzvah we have left. Bizman hazeh that is deraisa. Moror and the dalukaisos did not deraisa. The limud rabbanan matzos deraisa. The Torah says ushamartem es hamatzos. Chazal say al tikri matzos elo mitzvos. It's a mashal. Observe the mitzvos. Where should we observe the mitzvos? And Eretz Yisrael. Now that we are in Galus, we have no obligation to observe the mitzvahs. Chas v'sholem, that's apikorsis. And to show, Gesundheit, that it's apikorsis, why don't you do the following? Fill up the Kais Chamishi, which represents Eretz Yisrael, the Jews living on the land, on the Holy Land, where they're supposed to be, and don't drink it. To show, look, we never made it. Pesach, we never made it. And right now, where are we right now? We're in America right now. Or even if you're living in Eretz Yisrael, the Shechina has not been restored. The Beis HaMikdash has not been rebuilt. We're surrounded by enemies. We're in Galus. So if we're in Galus, and yet we still drank four cups, we still ate the matzos, ushmartem es ha-mitzvos, there's going to be ushmartem es ha-mitzvos without drinking the fifth cup? Exactly. If you would not have a fifth cup at all, no. So yeah, four cups. This is, you know, maybe in your mind, yeah, you know, we're with tzaddikim, we really don't have to do this because we're in Galus. There's no obligation to do this. No. You have to fill up the fifth cup. Got to fill it up. By filling up the fifth cup, you're acknowledging that there's something called vehevesi. Coming out of Mitzrayim was not the end. The goal was the Torah, to receive the Torah, and then to go to Eretz Yisrael. So, don't forget, there's an Eretz Yisrael. But acknowledge that even now, momentarily, during this Galus of already 1,953 years, acknowledge that you still chayiv in the Pesach Seder of eating matzah, which represents all of the mitzvahs, even though you're not going to drink from the hevesi. Drinking the hevesi means you're living the hevesi. We're not living in a zman of the hevesi. That's the reality. You can't deny the reality. But yet, even though we're not living in a world of the hevesi, we're still observant of shmarta nes hamatzos. Okay, that's the idea on the Kais Chamishna. There's one other thing I want to bring out, and that is Chazal instantly have to have 4 cups of wine. Why 4? So you there about that. Over here is at least 10 reasons. Everyone knows the main reason. You'd say it's the Yitzal, the Lakachti. You'll say it's connected to 4 cups that are said by Paro when Yosef, when the Golus began. Yosef went out to Mitzrayim. It says the Sar HaMashkim. He saw in the dream. It says the word Kais 4 times. Then you'll say it's because of the 4. There are 4. Let me give you some of the other reasons. The Kais HaTarela. It says that Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to punish our enemies. It says that it mentions in Tanakh the Kais HaTarela, the cup of poison that will be given to our enemies. Connected that we have a cup of Yayin. There are the Dalid Malchios. Okay. We have the Dalid Malchios, which Mechol will tell you, it corresponds to the 4 Malchios. And then there are the 4 Zuchus and Klal Yisrael. They went out of Mitzrayim. Okay, then there are 4 reasons why a person has to give a person who comes out of prison. There's 4 times a person brings a carbon toida. A person is released from prison. A person is ill. A person travels in the midbar. He travels on the yam. All 4 things that a person brings a carbon toida we experienced. Okay, there are even more reasons. But I wanted to suggest to you another very simple concept. And that is, what is how much yayin do we put in a kais? We put in a kais a revius haloig. When you make Kiddush Friday night, when you make it a Shabbos day, when you drink the Dalai Kaisas, what is the requisite shiur of yayin? A revius. How much is a revius? So in modern terms, it's about 3 ounces. 3 ounces of liquid. But in the words of Chazal, what is a revius? A quarter. A quarter of what? A loig. A loig is a biblical measure. And when a person brings a carbon, every carbon is accompanied by a meal offering and wine libations. How much yayin do you pour on the mizbech to accompany your carbon? Well, it's measured in terms of lugin. If you bring a keves, 3 lugin. If you bring an ayil, 4 lugin. If you bring a par, 6 lugin. This week's parish is the only time you find 1 lug. That is by the Mitzora. The Mitzora, it says the word loig in the Torah only 2 times. The word Lamed Gimel, like Lag Ba'omer, it only says Lamed Gimel twice in Chamishei Chumshei Torah. The word Lam by itself, and that's in this week's parasha, when the Mitzora, he finishes, when he becomes tar from his saras, he brings 2 birds. And on day 8, when he finishes the entire process, he brings, there are 3 korbanos, and he must also bring a loig shemen, 1 loig of oil, which the Kohen dips his finger and applies to his boin yad, boin regel, and his earlobe. A loig. Again, when you bring a carbon, the carbon is accompanied by lugin, either 3, 4, or 6. But what do you take out of this? A loig is the smallest unit. There's a biblical unit, a loig. Friday night, how much wine do you drink when you make kiddush? How much wine? A loig, a revius. I once mentioned this to you. The truth is you really have 4 cups of wine every Shabbos. How do you have 4 cups of wine? How do you have 4 cups? You have Friday night, you make kiddush. You make Kiddush Shabbos day. Now, if you ever go to a Hasidish Sholosh Sudos, they make Kiddush also. They make Kiddush not before you begin the Sud in the middle. Ever see this? I see this every week. You make a Borei Puyagov, it's part of the ceremony. In a real Hasidish Sholosh Sudos, they say Hashem Melech, Hashem Moloch. You make Kiddush. You make Kiddush in the middle of the meal. You make Kiddush. what's the kiddush? You don't say anything, but you make a boirei pri hagafen. And then, when else do you make kiddush? You have yayin, malava malka. Malava malka. You also, there's also an Indian to escort the queen. There's also an Indian that you have yayin at the malava malka. We don't do this today, but people, there is such a thing. So when you add up a revius, a revius, a revius, a revius, what do you get? A loig. How many quarters are there in a dollar? Four revios equals one loig. A loig is the smallest unit of mashke in the Torah. And that's why in this week's parasha, you bring a loig shemen. A carbon has three lugin, but it's defined in terms of a loig. The Pesach Seder is a dover sholem. It's not stam, oh, Chazal Yotzeis v'yitzalti v'galti v'lokachti. That's, of course, Chazal say that. But it's more than that. The four cups of yayin accumulate to a shi'ur of one loig. So the Seder, you're drinking a measure, a complete measure. On a regular Shabbos, you know, we're not zoicha on a complete Shabbos at any one meal to have shlemos. A little bit. We do Friday night, we do our part. Shabbos morning, we do another part. Shalish sudois, another part. The Shabbos bereshis, the Shabbos matan Torah, the Shabbos the loss of lavoi, this David HaMelech, Koisi, Malava Malka, David HaMelech, when loss of lavoi, loss of Mashiach will come, what is David's going to be the one that's going to bench? There's going to be a big question. Who's going to be Zoyche? Who's going to get the benching by the Su'udas Livi Yosan? And they're going to pass around the Kais. Avraham, I can't. I had a Yishmael. Yitzhak, I can't. I had this. Everyone's going to have an excuse why they cannot be the one that's going to be able to get benching. Who's going to get benching at the end? It's going to be David. And David, that's Malava Malka. David will take the Kais of the Revius. Each, there are four cups over Shabbos, and you can't have a complete measure in one shot. The Leil Seder is a Dover Sholem. The Leil Seder captures the history of Klal Yisrael. Mitchila oiv de avod zara hoyu avoseinu. The achshav kervanu hash hamokayim lavodosay. The Seder, you go from Holachma Anya to Chad Gadya Vyasa Kadosh Baruch Hu V'Shochad L'Malach HaMoves. The Seder, from beginning to end, in many different dimensions, is the Shleimus of Klal Yisrael. In who Klal Yisrael is, in the history of Klal Yisrael. And therefore, it's by design, there are four cups. Because a Revius is a quarter. What is a quarter? If someone comes collecting, you give them a quarter, they're not going to like you very much. What is a quarter? There is no quarters in the Torah. The Torah is Sholem. The smallest kois is really a loig. We have four cups of wine to show that the four different parts of the Seder are mitzareif to a complete shiur. And this complete shiur is sanctioned in the Torah. Because the Torah never talks about a loy. The Torah talks about a revius. The Torah talks about a loy. So the four really coming together to achieve this shlemus of one loy of yayin. But there's a very big shas. A person that did all these shas in the halacha, a person drinks four cups in a row. You have four cups on the table. One person, I don't want to follow rules. I don't follow rules. I'm an anti-rule person, anti-establishment. So you know what? This is going to be my Seder. What I'm going to do is, I'm first going to say the whole Haggadah, from beginning to end. Then, I'm going to wash, eat my matzah, I'll eat the maror, I'll eat the chayr, whatever. And then when I finish, I read the whole Haggadah from beginning to end, I ate the matzah, and now I have four cups of wine on the table. One, two, three, four. Baruch Atah Hashem, Baruch Pri HaGofen. Baruch Pri HaGofen. Boyer Priya Goffin, Boyer Priya Goffin. Did you make a bracha levatala? You said Boyer Priya Goffin four times. Did you, or will you yoitse the Dalit Kaisais if you drink four cups in one shot? It's not so partial to say that you're not. You're probably very eager to say it's a bracha levatala, it's a bracha levatala, and you're not yaitzei the dalek kaitzeis. But it's not so simple. It's not so simple to say that you're not yaitzei, because Chazal instituted four cups of wine, and you drank four cups of wine, and you made the four brachas. So it's not so positive to say that you're not yaitzei. Now here's the really good question. Let's say you take one cup, one whole cup, the size of a loik, and you fill up the whole loik, the cup with to the top. So what do you have in this one cup? Four revias, and you drink it in one shot. Are you yoytzei the dalit koisas? Because I'm supposed to drink four cups of wine. Each cup of wine is supposed to be a revias, and I drank in one shot four revias, which is one loig. Are you yoytzei the mitzvah of dalit koisas? Some say you are. You can't necessarily say you're not, even though the Chatila obviously each have four separate cups in four different sections of the Haggadah, and this should be done in proper way. But if Chazal wanted you to drink four revias, and you drank four revias, even though it's in one cup, in one shot, who's to say that you're not yoytzei? Obviously, lechatchila, it's not the ideal thing, but who is to say that you're not yoytzei? Okay, let's now go. So this is the thing about this concept of first. Right, Chazal said to say four brachos, of course. L'chatchila. What would happen if you take four cups of wine in rapid succession and say Baruch Pri HaGafen four times? Is it a bracha levatala? Do we say that the only time it's not a bracha levatala to make four times Baruch Pri HaGafen is only when you do it the way Chazal instituted at the four different sections of the Haggadah? Kiddush, benching, when you finish the first part of the Hallel, when you finish the second part of Hallel. Or do we say that no, Chazal wanted you to drink four cups of wine, l'chatchila, they wanted you to drink it at each the correct sections, at the correct sections, but b'di'evit, if you drink it in rapid succession, b'di'evit, you're yotze. Who's to say that you're not yotze? Obviously, it's not l'chatchila, but perhaps you can be yotze. Let's now go to another topic. This topic is very, very fascinating to me, what he writes over here, all these new chidushim regarding charoses. What exactly is the purpose of charoses? So Chazal give many, many reasons and many different ideas. The simplest of the simplest is that in lettuce, in maror, there is poison. There is some type of dangerous substance that is found in maror. And it can be very dangerous to a person
different morors.
Every maror has its dangerous substance, and there needs to be an antidote to neutralize any side effect that comes from the maror. Everything
people eat the maror all year long and seems to be okay.
Okay, enochanami. So maybe nishtana hateva. Maybe things have changed over the years, or maybe we're not eating with the maror that we're eating is not exactly the same. You're right. I don't know the answer. I'm just telling you what it says in the Chazal. There is such a principle called eris. Gemara says this. There is poison. There could be, maybe there is, maybe everyone is different. Everyone has a different composition. Some people don't react well. We know people have allergies. There is a principle called there's eris in the maror. The charoses, which is primarily a product of a fruit, you add into the charoses. The charoses is made by taking different fruits, egoism, nuts, and tapuach, apples.
Cinnamon
is not a fruit. Those are extra ingredients. But the primary ingredients of charoses in Chazal are fruits. And then you add to that fruit, you add other things to give it a certain texture, that it should resemble cement. But the primary ingredients are peiros, especially the peiros that are found in Shir HaShirim, and some say even from the Zayin Minim, and even some say that you should take, you know, in Sukkah, you're supposed to have Noi Sukkah. What are the Noi Sukkah? What are the Ikon Noi Sukkah? To hang up in your Sukkah, the Zayin Minim. What do you do with it when the Zayin Minim is over? So what do you do with your Esrog when Sukkah is over? You make Esrog jelly. and you eat it on Tu B'Shvat. Okay, what do you do with the Noi Sukkah? The decorations, the Zayin, the meaning they're hanging your Sukkah in the Schach. You save it for the Charoises of Pesach. You take the Zayin meaning, that's what it says in Svar. You take the Noi Sukkah. The Noi Sukkah is not streamers you buy in Eichlers, or the leftover Christmas decorations. The Noi Sukkah are the Zayin meaning you hang on the Schach, and you take those Zayin meaning, you put it away for Pesach, and you crush it, and you make it into Charoises. Cave into Ova Mitzvah Chodel, Ova Mitzvah Achlil. So what do you see from that? That the Charoises, primarily, its primary ingredient is fruit. Okay, fine. Fruit. And you add in some other ingredients to give it a texture of what looks like cement. And somehow fruits have some enzyme or some mineral or some quality that neutralizes the poison of the vegetable. The vegetable, because everyone agrees that moror is a borei pri ha'adama. Now that itself to me is very, very fascinating. Is that the neutralization, because the moror makes it very clear. The primary reason why you have moror is to neutralize the poison in the moror. The charoses is to neutralize. What is charoses? Charoses primarily is a fruit. What is moror? Moror, you make a borei pri ha'adama. If you're not making a borei pri ha'adama on moror, then you got a problem. That means, is this really moror? Has to be a borei pri ha'adama. That's why you have karpas. Karpas, you're making the borei pri ha'adama in order to exempt the moror from the bracha you're going to make later on. That's part of the Haggadah. You make a borei, when you eat moror, you should be making a borei pri ha'adama. So how come you don't make a borei pri ha'adama? Why not? Because you made already when you ate the karpas. The karpas is the borei pri ha'adama that's going to exempt the borei pri ha'adama on the moror. So it's got to be ha'adama. Isn't that interesting? Is that a borei pri ha'adama is poisonous, and the peros of the ilan, which comes out of the ground, is the antidote. The earth, arura ha'adama ba'avurech. When Adam ate from the Eitz Hadas, what did Adam eat from? He ate, it says in the Torah, he ate from the Eitz Hadas, you call me Pri Hagan, you have to look. But the curse that man received from eating the Chet Adam was the earth. Arura ho'adama ba'avurech. What? Ba'avurecha. The earth is cursed because of you. Moror is a curse. It's bitter. Not only is it bitter, it's poisonous. How are you going to survive? Pay rice! Don't just take a product of the earth. The earth produces a tree. An Eitz HaChayim. And the Eitz HaChayim produces peros. And those peros will neutralize the curse of the Ho'adama. The peros of a tree represent the pre-Ho'adama. The Adama itself is cursed. It's another level. A person goes a higher level of producing the peros haaretz, that is a neutralization. Now, okay, and there's a half-baked vart, but at least there's something, I think there's something over here very interesting, at least to appreciate the chilek between a vegetable and a fruit. A vegetable grows in the ground itself, and the ground is cursed, and the solution, the neutralization of the curse, is the peros, the pre-ho'adam. The pre-ho'etz is the pre-ho'etz. Distance yourself from the Adama, produce an eitz, and the peros of the eitz is the neutralization of the curse of the pre-ho'adama. That itself opens up a whole new world of machshava, of drush, how these two go. You only learn that from the Pesach Seder. Chazal are telling you moror is poisonous, but dip it in the charoses. What's the charoses? Charoses is fruit. The pre-ho'etz will neutralize the pre-ho'adam. Okay, now, let's leave it for a sec. Now, there's a very interesting Rambam And now there's another reason why we have charosis. And what is the main reason? And what is the other reason? It's a zecher for the tit. That when the Jewish people were in Egypt, they were required to create bricks, levenois, to build mortar, pisim v'ramses. And the charosis reminds us of the hard, crushing labor that we were subjugated to in Egypt of building pisim v'ramses. We take these fruits and we fashion in a way that it looks like a mortar tit. And it's a zeich, and it goes very well with moror. Moror is bitter. What was the bitterness? Vayimoru etz chayehem ba'avoda kasha. What is the avoda kasha? The charoses. To take the mortar, and take that mortar and put it into a mold, and make a brick, and put that brick and build a worthless, a useless structure, piece of the Ramses, which is built on quicksand, anyway, would sink into the ground. So it goes very well with Vayimoru etz chayehem. The moror goes together with the charoses, because the bitterness was building, making these bricks. Now the Rambam, now here's a very big dilemma. Let's say you don't like charoses. I don't like it. I don't like this stuff. This doesn't sit well. Are you mechuyev really to eat the charoses? Ah, this poison. So Mordechai says, not bezman hazeh. Today the doctors will tell you that maybe it was takatru b'tam the Gemara, there was poison. But bezman hazeh, it's not poisonous. Or there are other ways you can neutralize the poison. There are other techniques to neutralize the poison. So if a person just doesn't like the charoses, is he obligated to eat the charoses? Or charoses, it's a hiddur, you know, it's a way, chazal, charoses, or here's the bigger chiddush. The Rambam says something which some of the Mefarshim, they dwell on. The Rambam uses a unique expression with regarding the charoses, where he says, you bring the charoses to the table. I'm not even sure if the Rambam says you should eat the charoses, or do you dip the mor in the charoses? You bring it. The Rambam emphasizes, he's probably asking you dip it, there's a tzvila. We dip it, the manashtana. Halayla zeh, b'chol ha-leilos, ein ono matbilin, afilu pamachas, halayla zeh, shtei pamim. We dip the karpas in the salt water, and we dip the moror in the charoses. You dip it. Do you have to eat it? You dip it. And then do you shake it off? The different hogim. Some people shake it off. Some people don't shake it off. I like it. My wife spent a lot of time making it this morning, so I'm not going to insult her. I'm gonna eat it. I'm going to eat it, and I'm going to compliment her that the charoses is delicious. Right? You're a good husband. You're going to compliment your wife how delicious the charoses is. Or no. You dip it in order to extract from the charoses some moisture, some enzymes, some chemical properties that this fruit has to wet the maror, and that will neutralize the poison. That's enough. I don't have to actually eat it. Okay, a lot of medications, where do they come from? They come from all different types of herbs and vegetables. You're just eating the extract. Go buy vitamins, an extract of this, extract of that, extract. You're not actually eating these fruits and vegetables and these herbs and these things you never heard of before. You're consuming the extract, the quality, the property that's found in these obscure fruits and vegetables that you've never heard, that come from all different parts of the world. That's what you're doing. Charoses is the Morris poison. You need an extract. So you take, in ancient times, they weren't so sophisticated to go sell pills. So they had a more primitive way of getting the extract. You make charoses, and you take your mora, and you dip it a little bit, and that somehow makes contact with a couple of chemicals, and that's sufficient to neutralize the poison. Who says you have to eat it? Who says? You dip it! But the Rambam says something very important. His words are, you must bring it to the table. The Yesh La'ayin, I'm reading from the work, he says, he quotes the words of the Rambam, Hacharoises, this is the Rambam, the Rambam's words, Hacharoises, mitzvah midivrei soifrim, zecher letit, a zecher for the mortar, Shahayu oivdim boy bimitzrayim, the ketzad oisin oisa, the chulu chulu, and he writes, Ume vi in oisa al hashulchan bilele hapesach. You bring it and you deposit it on the table on the night of Pesach. It doesn't say this nusach in the Rambam regarding anything else. It doesn't say you bring the matzah. You eat the matzah. It doesn't say you bring the koyish al yayin. You consume the koyish al yayin. It doesn't say the morrow you bring the morrow. You eat the morrow. Only when it comes to the charoitzes does the Rambam say, Umeviyin oisa al hashulchan. There's a ceremony. Does anyone do this ceremony? I never heard anyone do the ceremony. We are now up to the ceremony of bringing the charoitzes onto the table. Okay? And then he goes further over here and he says there's a two-part ceremony. You bring the charoitzes that looks like mud, and then you dilute it. You dilute it. You pour into the charoitzes yayin to dilute it, and then you dip the maror into it. So when you're actually doing the dipping, it's a liquefied form of charoitzes. The charoitzes starts out, it's brought to the table as a salad or as a porridge, a thick paste. And then you let it sit there. There's a ceremony. And now, Rabbi Isaiah, we call your attention. Everyone pay attention. We're now going to bring the charoitzes to the table. And the chef walks in, or one of the children walk in holding a tray of charoitzes, and you put the charoitzes down on the table. What does it look like? Thick porridge. It looks like mud, mortar. And then you say the Haggadah and you do whatever you need to do. And now comes Tom Matzi, the Matz. Now we're up to Morar. Oh, before we eat the Morar, there's a ceremony. We take some wine and we pour the wine into the charoitzes to dilute the mortar into a liquid, to make it into a liquefied version. Mash it up a little bit, it becomes liquidy. And now you take your maror and you dip it. That is what is mashma from the Rambam. You never saw this before, we never heard this before, but that's what it says. And he's mefalpel in this very, very much. So what is going on over here? So I want to suggest the following yisoid. There's a very important segment about the story of the Exodus, which is a critical, critical moment, a critical moment. And that's when Moshe Rabbeinu goes to Paro and says, Paro, you know who I am? I'm Moshe Rabbeinu. I have a message from you, from God. Shalach es ami v'yavduni b'amidbar. God has sent me to you to tell you, let my people go. What does Paro say? Let me Google that. He Googles God, Facebook, Google has censored God. I don't see over here on Google, there's no zecher of God. I don't know what you're talking about. Moshe, get out. Get out and get lost. Moshe leaves. Paro pushes the red button on his desk. His cabinet enters. And Paro says, no, these Jews, they have too much time on their hands. They send me this guy, Moses, gives me orders. These guys have too much time on their hands. What are we going to do? You know what? Don't give them straw. Let the people go out into the field and collect the straw themselves. They will bring the straw. What's the straw? The mortar. The straw is the main ingredient of the mortar. Let them go bring the straw. The order goes out, and the people go to Moshe, and they literally curse him. Moshe, how dare you? You went into the Oval Office, you told Paro, let my people go. Paro said, you guys have too much time on your hands. Now we have to fulfill the quota of bricks, and we have to also provide the raw materials. We have to bring the straw. The Rambam says, you know what you do when it comes to Seder? You bring the straw. It's not enough that Zecher Letit. There was Tit before Moshe came on the scene. When Moshe was in Midian, on the field with his animals, the Jews were building bricks. They were building peace in the Ramses. There was Tit. Every day you wake up, you go to work. What do you see? I see Tit, 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 Tit. You go and you make the mortar. This is Zecher Liyetzias Mitzrayim. When Moshe Rabbeinu comes on the scene, he says, Pokoy Pokadati, it's a different Tit. The mortar is not the same old mortar. Now, the Jews are the ones who are going to present, to bring the mortar. The Rambam says, again, these words are incredible. Hacharoyisas mitzvah b'divrei sam zech letit. What tit? There was tit in Egypt, all different times. There was tit before Moshe, and there was tit after Moshe arrived on the scene. Zech letit, shahayu oivdim b'bim mitzrayim. The keitzad oisin v'chulu. And the Rambam says, umevi in oisa al hashulchan b'leilei ha-pesach. Part of the service is you bring the tit, you bring the straw from the kitchen into the table. Just like you went out into the field to go find tit, to find the straw, which is the tit, and you brought it to the workplace. Every man, get off your throne at the Pesach Seder. Everyone's sitting there in a comfortable recliner with pillows and this and that in their kittel. Okay, we're about to start the Seder. Will all of the adult men get off their reclining chair, pick themselves up, and go into the kitchen and bring to the table the charoses? Because that's exactly what happened in Egypt. In Egypt, you were sitting at the workplace, and all of a sudden Moshe arrives. He says, Pokoit Pokadati. He goes to Paro, and guess what you had to do? All you fellows had to go get off your chair and go out into the field and find the tit and bring it to the workplace. That is what you are reenacting Lel Pesach. Okay, I think this is an incredible deek in the Rambam. And then what do you do? What do you do? You take the ayin. You then take the ayin and you dilute it. What is the ayin? The ayin, the whole night is about yayin. Yayin is the cheirus. You take the yayin, and the yayin itself is what's going to transform. Think about this. You have tit. The bringing of the tit is more of a tsar than eating it. Just bringing it in is a zecher. It's a traumatic experience. It can trigger a post-traumatic stress disorder when a person reenacts the bringing of the tit to the table. What do you do? This is psychology. We're going to take that tit and we're going to dissolve it. How are we going to dissolve it? The yayin. This is the same bottle of wine that you drink cheirus. Dalit koisos of cheirus. B'nei Melochim, you're going to take that yayin, the cheros is going to take away the tsar of the Havo HaSatit. And then we're going to prevail over it. The moror, the bitterness, we're going to dip in the charoises, not just stam, the Pashup Shad is, when you dip the mor in the charoises, the Pashup Shad is, it is an intensification of the bitterness. The mor is bitter. The tit is also bitter. So when you dip the mor in the tit, it's an intensification. Bitter, bitter. Two bitter things. It's an intensification. Just the opposite. You brought the tit to the table. Now you dilute it. With what? With the Yayin Shel Cheirus. Hashem has taken away our suffering. He brought Moshe. It's Lemafreya, we see the Bracha. And now the Moror is no longer bitter. We'll take the maror, we're going to dilute the maror in the charoyis as that we have already diluted. It's a further dilution. First, you dilute the charoyis. And when the charoyis has been diluted, the maror is now diluted. Because now we take the maror and we dip it in the tit which we have already diluted. What is more bitter? The real object of bitterness is not the maror. The maror is a concept. Between the two, what's the real bitter? The charoses. Because the charoses, I don't know what it tastes like, but the charoses will trigger trauma. When you look at maror, lettuce, are you going to become traumatized? No. You're not going to be traumatized when you look at maror. When you look at mortar, you're traumatized. A person will look at a piece of lettuce. Is he traumatized? No. If a person goes to Auschwitz, a survivor goes back to Auschwitz and sees where he was, he's traumatized. The tit is Auschwitz. The tit is the object of torture. It's the maror. What's the maror? They need maror in Egypt. Maror is a concept. It's a concept. It is something that is bitter. You dilute the real Auschwitz, the tit. When that has been diluted with the Yayin Shel Chayrus, then the concept of Maror no longer exists. Then when I take the Maror, I put the Maror in the diluted Charoises. Okay, this whole idea of the Rambam, how he's Medayik in the Rambam, this two-step process of there's a din to bring it to the table. And then there's a din to dilute it with the Yayin. And you go back to the end of Parashat Shemos, and you focus that when Moshe Rabbeinu came to save them, Paro said, no more will I provide the tit. You bring the tit. It changes everything. We bring the tit. We remember the worst moment. We're going back into Auschwitz. And then we take the Yayin Shel Chayrus and we pour it. We mix it up. It's no longer a solid, it's liquid. It's become sweet. It's gone. The trauma is over. We then take the concept of Mara and we dip it into this taruvis. And everything goes away. The nightmares go away. Okay, one last yisoid. I'm going to stop very soon. Just important. There's a medrash. This medrash is a mind-boggling medrash. And obviously, I don't know how it fits into the kairos, but obviously it does in a very significant way. And everyone knows this pasuk, famous pasuk. Habein yakir li Ephraim, im yelet shashuim, ki mide dabri boy zochor eskrenu oit, al kein homai me'aloi, rachem arachamenun umashem. What does this pasuk mean? It means a lot of things. Pashup shat, the way it's used in Musaf on Yom Rosh Hashanah, how they play it as a song, they have a different meaning. Okay, there are many, many meanings to this pasuk. Who is Ephraim? It represents the Aseres HaShvatim. It represents the entire Klal Yisrael. We're not doing this now. There's many, many perushim as to this very difficult pasuk of what exactly this pasuk means. Ayin Panim L'Torah. But there's a very frightening medrash which gives an interpretation to this pasuk. There was a person in the time of Mitzrayim who was a child of Ephraim. Yosef had children. Yosef had two children, Ephraim and Menashe. So that was at the very beginning of the 210 years. So it must have been either a great-grandson, a grandson, a great-grandson, a great-great-grandson, maybe great-great-great, I don't know. Someone that was in the line of the son of Yosef. Yosef, Ephraim, go down a generation, two generations, whatever it was. And there was a family from Ephraim, and they were in forced labor. They were in the forced labor camp of Pisan Ramses. Can you imagine the irony? Yosef, who saved Egypt, they took his own anacle and they put them in a forced labor camp to build Pisan Ramses. The mother was working. They were torturing her and she was pregnant. And she was working, making bricks, the mortar. And they came in to whip her. Why have, this is what it says in the Medrash, why have you not finished the quota? What's wrong with you? They took out a whip. They whipped her. And in the trauma of being whipped, she had a miscarriage. She went into labor. And the baby came, the fetus baby came out. And the baby, as it came out, the hashkacha, it fell into the mold. The baby, the fetus, fell into the mold. The mold that they make with the tit of making the brick. And she gave out a scream. What are you doing? Can you imagine Yosef's grandson, his great-grandson, who saved Egypt? They're only alive today because of Yosef. They're torturing his ankle. And in the trauma, she's pregnant, they whip her, the baby falls out, it falls into the mold. Oh, another brick. Another brick for peace and Ramses. Oh. In Shemayim, the Shemayim shook. When she gave out that cry, the heavens shook. Hashem said to the Malach, says the man, go down to earth. Go down, get me that brick. Bring me that brick. That brick was brought and was put before the Kisei HaKavod. And Hashem says, looks at that brick every day and it says, Habein Yakir Li Ephraim. Ephraim refers to this woman who was from the Shevet Ephraim, who was the anacle of Yosef, who was tortured, who gave birth to a bain. Habein, the baby that was born, Yakir Li Ephraim, Im Yelet Shashuim. This would have been a delightful child. This child would have developed into a tzaddik. Who knows what it would have done for Klal Yisrael? Would have given me nachas. Al ben Yaakov, I'm yelish. Kimidei Dabri Boy. When I think about the cruelty, the rishus of what goes on in this world, Zochor Eskerenu Oid. I remember what the rishoyim did to Klal Yisrael. Al kein mei homuloi rachem arachamen. I will have rachmanis upon you. I will redeem you. There will be a shifoi chamos el hagoyim. This brick is a dugma for the suffering of Klal Yisrael in Golos. That brick is the tit. When you're bringing, Rambam says, go out, men, get off your thrones, pick yourself up, go into the kitchen, and bring to the dining room table the brick. So we said one shot. Okay, Zechef at the end of Parshas Shemos, where Paro said, you Jews, you bring the brick, you bring the straw. I want to say another drush. When the Rambam says, it's now time to begin the Seder, pick yourself up off your throne and your pillows, go into the kitchen and bring the charoises. You know the charoises? It's the levena. It's, you are reenacting the Ribbono Shel Olam saying to the Malach, hello. Malachim, go bring me that brick. Habein Yaker Li Ephraim, Im Yelet Shashuim, Ki Midei Dar Riboy, and let's talk about it. Let's talk about Vihigadita Levincha Bayomahu Lema. Let's talk about what happened over here. Zochores Kerenu Oid. I'm going to remember you. Alkein Homai Meiloi. Rachem Rachamenu. The whole story of the Haggadah begins, the Seder begins, there's a ceremony. Get that brick on the table here and let's have a conversation. When you get out of your chair and you go to the kitchen to bring the brick, you are reenacting HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanding the Malach, this is Malach Gavriel, bring me that brick, put it right here on the table, and let's talk about what happened. Let's discuss the crime. Let's discuss the lack of Hakaras HaTorah the Egyptians had for Klal Yisrael, for Yosef who saved them. Let's talk about the whole story over here. Let's discuss the cruelty, the rishus, and the righteousness of the Jewish people, their emunah in me. And to know what the result's going to be at the end of the Seder? Al Kain Homai Me'ai Loi Rachei Marachamim. Okay, Rabbi Sait. Thank you for coming. Have a good day.